B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
The newly minted 60-year-old Perry Farrell joins me today on Talkin' Rock. He's got a new record that's coming out on June 7th called Kind Heaven. We talk about the record and the collaboration with some of his friends on the new album.
So what I do today is I work with people and we kind of trade work.
By the way, Kind Heaven's his first solo album in 18 years. He talks about the way people listen to music today, plus his new venture he's working on in Las Vegas.
We are going back to the very early days of rock.
Perry Farrell today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Oh, yes, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. We got Perry Farrell, as we just talked about in the open, coming up here in just a few minutes. But Al Beck's going to be around with the rock and roll news right after Perry. Some crazy news coming from the Aussie front. Not only did he fall down and go boom, but also something else happened in the Osborne family we'll tell you about coming up here. A festival date for Guns N' Roses that you might want to travel to this coming summertime, as well as more news on Tool. Seems like every day we have something going on with Tool. So Al will be up in just a few minutes to talk about that. In the meantime, Perry Farrell has a lot of things happening for 2019. New solo album, a short tour, of course, Lollapalooza. A lot of stuff happening with Perry. And he was in Buenos Aires doing this interview while I was in Detroit. Something's wrong with the world here. But anyways, Perry's a good dude. Just celebrated his 60th birthday. So they connected with us finally. It took him a couple tries to get us connected. But finally, we got to talk to Perry. And here's what it sounded like today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Perry, how's things going? You're far away from this. This modern technology. I feel like we got two strings in a paper cup or something.
Well, let me see. Does it help if I talk like that?
Yeah, it helps a little bit better. There, you're a little bit better now. So, happy 60th birthday, by the way.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Yeah, I just turned 50 last month, so I know the big milestone celebrations. I saw your celebration on online and stuff. You had a pretty good day, eh?
Yeah, no, I've been having a great week. Odd birthday celebrations, you know, go on and on. As far as, you know, we can take it until, all of a sudden we wake up and it's a Monday and nobody cares anymore.
Well, my birthday celebration, I drove to Canton, Ohio to see John 5 play guitar. And I think yours is a little bit more, expensive than mine was.
Well, mine always lands on the Lollapalooza, South America. So you can imagine, every time I have my birthday now, I take a trip down to, it could be Chile or Argentina, usually is where it kicks off, and I step into a giant Lollapalooza, weekend, and then it goes into the next weekend and into the next weekend. So I end up having sometimes, you know, a 3-week birthday celebration at Lollapalooza's.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it sounds like fun. My birthday didn't last nearly that long, but we're back at it. And this has to be the earliest interview I've ever done. It's like, 9 o'clock here in Detroit. So, but I was looking forward to talking to you. It's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've talked to you. And, man, you got a lot of stuff going on this year. 2019 shaping up to be a busy year for you, eh?
Sure is, man. I'm excited about it. I've been anticipating this moment, building toward it practically my whole life. To be 60 years old, what would I be doing? How would I be feeling? And what would the world be like?
And here we are. Now you got a new record coming out, Kind Heaven, coming out on June 7th. And tell us about this record and tell us about like the special guests and all the stuff that you have going on with it.
All right. Well, the recording is part of a much larger I guess you would call it a project, a new project, like a Lollapalooza, except it's on a much different scale. But like Lollapalooza, the impetus or the, you know, the root of it all is music. So you can look at it like a rock opera a la Tommy or Quadrophenia, something like that, set in the near future and 2020, and we are on the threshold of the Messianic era. So all the things that you've read about, the prophecies, are, you know, some people can see the signs and the wonders. Others are just, you know, walking to and from work, and they don't notice all the miraculous things that are happening. But nonetheless, they are all going down, and that's what the music, that's what the story of the musical is.
And like I said, this comes out on June 7th. The first single is out right now, Pirate Punk Politician. And so you were just talking about Lollapalooza. Are you playing Lollapalooza down in South America? But I know you're playing in Chicago, right?
We're playing in Chicago. Now, this particular year, I am not performing in South America. I'm just here as, you know, as the promoter.
Gotcha.
Going through. But next year, we'll most likely be bringing Kind Heaven Orchestra down here to South America. But we're really excited that we're going to be coming to Detroit.
Yeah, and you're playing in Detroit with one of the few places that's not called the City Winery or something like that, right?
Exactly. St. Andrews.
That's right. St. Andrews coming up on June 24th. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be killer. You know what I noticed about this song, and I suppose that it's something that you can't get away from, but this song sounds very Jane's Addiction. And, I mean, obviously that's kind of an obvious statement, but, you know, talk about that.
The song was put together with a cat by the name of Bob. And most people know him as Bloody Beetroots. He's actually Italian, but I met him years ago in Toronto. We were doing a show together. We were doing it's more like a dance party show, and his music was very powerful, like techno, but he had a very strong, inspiration of rock cutting through. So I am collaborating with a lot of different people on this album, people like Harry Gregson-Williams, Elliot Easton, Taylor Hawkins, you know, I mean, I have a long list of collaborators, but in this particular case, Pirate Punk Politician, you know, we really thought of the title itself. Actually, it was a title that Bob sent to me, and he wanted me to contribute on his album. He had people like Paul McCartney collaborating with, and so what I do today is I work with people, and we kind of trade work. So I would sing on a guy's track. He'll bring me, he'll bring me music. I just think now is the time for musicians to start collaborating with each other. I think that it's going to cause a musical explosion if we can all get together and work for a common cause. I think the music industry is about to explode again with new music, because, you know, people are contributing. So it's that staleness that, you know, some might think the music industry is a bit stale now. Well, we're all in the laboratories. Laboratories meaning the studios, working together, and we're going to go around the world performing together like we do with Lollapalooza. I think that the musical audience is in for a treat in the next few years. Can I also add that the way we experience music and the way we listen to music is changing. Just like we had many years ago, we began listening to music in mono, and then it became stereo, and then quadraphonic. Now we have Atmos, which is really surround sound, the way that you experience music in movie theaters. And we can mix music now binaurally, which is basically the amazing new headphone systems that we have. So our album is the very first album to be mixed in Atmos.
Really?
So although you might not have an Atmos system in your house, you have to have a really good home entertainment system. But some of the clubs now are starting to become built in Atmos, and I am building an immersive entertainment complex in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
and what that means is I've taken a hotel, a 100,000 square foot hotel, I've gutted it, and I'm turning it into a varietal entertainment establishment, and the speakers are all in the walls surrounding you, so you will be able to hear the music in Las Vegas in surround sound. There you go.
Now, that's at the Link in Las Vegas, and our radio station goes there every single fall to the Link. We've been there, I think, for the last 4 years we've stayed there, and that's really cool, and it's got hologrammic stuff and all sorts of South Asian flair and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right. So the style or the motif is someplace like Southeast Asia, although the country is, of course, fictitious. And yes, so we are bringing, we have four stages. It's going to be a completely new experience for music lovers, in that we're going to have the Atmos system for you to hear the music. We are going back to the very early days of rock. When, do you remember, or you might not remember, but have you heard of the time period when the Beatles first started? They were in, they had a residency in Hamburg,
right,
Germany, at a place called the Rockskeller. You know, now, this is a really interesting factoid, if you will, historical factoid, because imagine this young group playing, let's say, three sets a night or four sets a night, short sets, but they were able to hone their craft and get so good at being a band. And when they left there, they exploded and they became the Beatles that we know. But back in those days, they actually looked like, they kind of looked like James Dean or something. They wore like leather jackets and they had a bouffant hairdo. Anyway, they were able to hone their craft and get better. So I wanted that for the musicians that we're bringing into Las Vegas. And so we're going to offer residencies at four stages, let's say two or three or maybe four acts per stage. and we're going to house them out in Las Vegas, out in these little Airstream, I call it an Airstream village, almost like a Fellini circus scenario where the performers all live in trailers. Well, we have these Airstreams,
right?
And we're going to bring them out there, and so you're going to have collaboration. You're going to have young groups really getting to hone their craft in front of an audience and before people. We're going to be able to record them and give them and show them the latest production technology, and just dress them, because they're part of this grand rock opera, if you will. And then when they get really good, they will move on to the bigger stages of Lollapalooza. So what we have there is essentially we have a music farm league.
Yeah, that's cool. No, by that time, it'll be open until next year. We're going to be there again in the fall, so we'll probably see the building in progress. But, Perry, one last thing here for you, because I know that I'm running a little bit late, and there's a lot of interviews you got to do today. But I just want to get your thoughts on some of the stuff you've done already this year, including the Foo Fighters covering Mountain Song and the day before the Super Bowl, and also the Chris Cornell tribute.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. It's friends collaborating on collaborating, and it's exciting for the audience to see people that they love performing together. I know that at Lollapalooza, when those rare times appear, when I think about Jack White performing with Robert Plant, and it is a memorable experience. It might be an experience that may never repeat itself, but the audience has a memory that they can always say, like, wow, I was there. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we're trying to make as many of those moments happen as we can. There you go.
Yeah, to say, wow, I was there. I was at the last Soundgarden show here in Detroit. So one of my favorite bands, of course, from that era. Well, listen, man, Kind Heaven comes out on June 7th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was here in Detroit.
Go ahead.
Detroit, you'll be here June 24th at St. Andrews. And good luck on the record and Lollapalooza and all your traveling. And once again, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you, Detroit. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Barry.
You're welcome.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And there he was, Perry Farrell, today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I guess he was in some sort of yoga pose the whole time. That's what I was told.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of it. Somebody said to me, the guy who kind of hooked that thing up, he's like, yeah, currently he's in whatever the pose was. I had to Google it. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
It's
like
Google it. Downward dog.
No.
The sleeping willow or whatever the hell.
No, I can't remember what he said. Yeah. Anyways, so there you go. Perry Farrell today on Talkin' Rock. Al Beck joins me for some rock news that you can do whatever you want with. Mm. That's what we've determined it actually to be. So,
yeah.
So anyways, the first thing you got is Mick Jagger. Now, that's been talked about for a while. Mick Jagger tweeted out a couple days ago that, unfortunately, they had to postpone their American tour, their North American tour here.
Yeah, so. We were just talking about this, and they announced that he had to have heart valve surgery. But it looks like the surgery has already happened, and he's doing quite well, as a matter of fact. They've announced that he's recovering. He's in great health, and he'll be monitored by doctors, of course, for potential complications that could arise from the procedure. But all in all, Mick Jagger looking really good, should be out of the hospital in a matter of days. And really, they still got to postpone the tour because, like, in his job, he's kind of running around jumping and stuff like that. And that's a little too much for post-heart surgery. But, yeah, Mick Jagger should make a full recovery, and he's looking good.
Yeah, he can't gyrate there. I heard this was...
gyrate.
Yeah, he can't gyrate. Yeah, he can't do that while you're, after the heart surgery.
Yeah.
I heard that this was actually said in his recovery room. Mr. Richards, please put that cigarette out and that Jack Daniels has to stay outside the hallway.
He didn't listen. Absolutely not.
So anyways, well, good luck to Mick. And, I was thinking about this last night. I don't think I've ever seen the Rolling Stones. Isn't that crazy to think? It's like, I can't remember if I've ever seen them or not.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I'm not really a huge Stones fan.
I know I haven't.
Yeah.
They're a band that I wouldn't mind seeing. I mean, like you said, I'm not a huge Stones fan. You know, I was more of a Beatles guy.
Yeah, right. I'm with you, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the Stones. And if I had a chance, I would love to see them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to pay $800 for a ticket, though.
Yeah, that's true. And those guys have toured and played to millions and millions of fans. It's not like, it's not like when Jimmy died. Like, he didn't play to millions of people, you know what I'm saying? But he did play to a lot, for sure.
Yeah.
So, anyways, switching gears to another tour that's been postponed, I guess, is
this
Ozzy's.
Guy can't win.
Yeah.
He can't win. Of course, he had just had, pneumonia. We had to postpone a bunch of stuff. Well, now he's taking a tumble, which I know. But you remember a few years back, he had been in an accident with that ATV or something?
Yeah, that was more than a few years. Yeah, he almost died from that, they say.
Exactly. Yeah. That was like 10, 15 years ago, something like that. And, he fell down and aggravated some of those old injuries he'd had.
Really?
Yeah, from that. And so he had to be, he even put a thing out on social media just talking about how he can't believe he has to reschedule more dates, but he just can't go on the road right now. So,
can you imagine if he typed in social media how he actually talks?
I know. I saw the quote here and I thought about reading it, but I feel like I'd have to do it in his voice and I can't. So, but wishing him recovery. It looks like he may even getting those dates postponed till 2020.
Okay, yeah, and that sucks because the guys from Megadeth, I'm sure, were looking forward to heading out with him.
Yeah.
So, and there's some other news in the Osborne front. I just saw this is crazy.
Yeah, as long as we're talking about the Osbournes, Jack Osborne was out in some LA coffee shop and some dude, random guy, who they think may have been homeless, just walked up and sucker punched him.
That's what I hear. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
But what I do like Jack's reaction, which is probably better than I would have reacted. He threw his hot coffee on the guy and took off running.
So Jack took off running or the guy did?
Jack took off running. Yeah, he threw his hot coffee on the guy and fled.
Man.
But,
is he okay?
His people are saying that he's doing just fine.
Yeah, right.
Just a really strange encounter with Jack Osborne and a homeless man, presumably.
Yeah, out in Los Angeles. I wonder, what could precipitate that? I mean, really,
Like, did the homeless guy know this was Jack Osborne? He was just like, I don't like his beard,
Yeah, I didn't like that song your dad put out in 83.
Right.
Well,
I mean, hey, we've had stuff like that just in radio. I didn't like that song you played,
Yeah, like, I know. It does happen. Yeah, so, well, we'll see what happens with that moving forward. But, Jack Osborne, sucker punched by a homeless guy. Never thought I'd be talking about that today. Guns N' Roses, I was talking about this on my radio show yesterday. Those guys have played, I want to say, 150 plus dates, and this is just off the top of my head, 150 mm-hmm. plus dates on this tour they did for the last 2 years, the Not in This Lifetime tour, and they've made more than $560 million on those tours. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's so cool to see those guys back together again. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first like stadium show was here in Detroit, and I've talked about this before, but when they took the stage, man, it was unbelievable. It's like when Slash and Duff are out there and then Axl comes running out the middle, man, the hair in your arms just stands up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like I can't think of a time in my life outside of seeing Kiss reform where I've been that excited to see, a band on stage together like that. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But now they're going to be playing a festival date coming up here.
Yeah, which is really cool. I even saw a quote earlier that Slash was talking about how overwhelming playing with Guns N' Roses has been for him again after these past two decades apart. And we are going to see at least one date this year for the guys. As a matter of fact, they are going to be headlining the Louder Than Life Festival this year.
Yeah, I was there a couple years ago when Slash was doing his solo thing. And what's really cool about that Louder Than Life Festival is it's kind of a European type festival. These festivals now are, of course, big over here in the States now with what used to be Rock in the Range. Now it's Sonic Temple and the ones in Florida and Texas and, and Carolina Rebellion and the whole thing. But they actually have the two stages right next to each other. And so while one band's playing on the one stage, they're setting up for the other band.
Sure.
So as soon as that band's done, man, boom, that stage just fires up then. It's pretty cool. And I remember talking to Paul O'Neill from Trans-Siberian Orchestra one time, and they were playing over in Europe over there at a festival, just like what I described. And Paul's like, hey, listen, I'll tell you what, TSO will play over there if we can use both stages. And they did. They
nice.
Played on both stages, and I guess they had the fireworks rigged up, and you know, Paul O'Neill was the kind of guy that it was like, let's see if we can make this bigger, louder, you know, everything. And so, yeah, so they played on both stages.
Did they have both versions of the band playing?
I don't know.
Because they've got an East Coast and a West Coast
That's an
band.
Interesting question. I don't know. I didn't ask him about that. But he said the one thing was that a lot of times when you're playing in bands and whatnot, and I wouldn't know because I'm not in a band, but you take, you know, kind of visual cues from some of your guys.
Yeah.
And now you can't see some of these guys.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
They practiced, like, in different rooms and stuff. And so that was kind of cool.
That's cool. Yeah. I know that the Ozfest for a while had that two-stage parking lot set up.
Yeah.
You know, and that which kept it moving because when one stage ended, the other one would pick up, as you
Well, that's kind of what this is, yeah, but on a much larger scale.
Much larger scale. This was like the secondary, you know, instead of having the second stage in the party, it was the second and third, and then you got the main stage. That was the Ozfest way.
Yeah.
But this is obviously much bigger, and will be taking place Louisville, Kentucky, September 27th through the 29th.
Now, you know what a bourbon guy I am, right? Whiskey and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I went to that Dead Festival, like I said, in Louisville, Kentucky. I think it was about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's like a six-hour drive from here. And I stayed at a, you know, a pretty, you know, decent hotel in Louisville. The girl working behind the bar, she couldn't have been but 25. She knew more about whiskey and bourbon than anyone I've ever met.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it's funny because you know how when you go into bars sometimes and like, you know, all the bottles are nicely, you know, they're all disheveled because she's just constantly pouring them. So it was cool.
I liked that.
Yeah. I met a couple guys there. They showed me a little bit of their, you know, their bourbon outlook on things. And
you haven't walked straight since.
No, it's been tough. So anyways, yeah, it's cool. Guns N' Roses on that date. That's awesome. So Tool continues to taunt the fans, of course, the April Fool's Day joke, which we talked about, and now what do they do now?
They changed the cover photo on their Facebook page.
Okay.
So now here's the thing: what the new cover photo is, it's the Tool logo, but inside of it, it's got what looks to be Roman numeral numbers for 2019.
Okay,
so basically, are they saying the album's out this year?
I just, you know, sometimes when I see, like, for example, sometimes when I see, like, an athlete or something, like, I've seen this before, too. Like, they have hundreds of thousands of Twitter fans, right?
Yeah.
And so, and followers. And so, what they'll do is they'll put out, hey, just about ready to hop in the shower. And I wonder if sometimes they do that just to see, like, if they're ribbing their buddies on the team, let me see how many retweets or comments I get on this stupid tweet, right? So, I wonder if Tool's doing, like, the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's just constantly just throw stuff out there that means nothing to anybody.
Right.
Or if something is actually going to happen.
Right. It could just be, well, it's 2019 right now, and that's Tool. It's a photo from 2019. But that's about it. Obviously, you know, the album is coming. It sounds like it's close, but of course, we've been hearing that for years.
Yeah.
So I think, but whatever they're doing, they're having fun with it. They're milking it a little bit. And like I said, I think it's, you know, and fun.
Well, we'll see what happens. I love the you know, Tool obviously is great, and I can't wait to see those guys again. So anyways, finally wrapping things up with more Motley Crue news.
Yeah.
I talked to my friend Johnny today, and the way here, he's seen the Dirt 5 times.
Wow.
That might be the most of anyone I've talked to so far.
Yeah.
You've seen it once?
I've seen it once.
I got to see it again because Nikki says to watch it because you got to watch the stuff in the background and stuff. And I, you know, Well, I told you, I started drinking when I was watching it, so, so by the end it was a little fuzzy. But
Hang out with your bourbon friends,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So, anyways, what's the deal with the dirt now?
Well, it's a lot of popularity on Netflix. It's had some controversy around it. Of course, the soundtrack debuted. We talked about that last time at number 10 on the Billboard charts. Well, now people have spiked so much interest in The Dirt, the movie, they started buying the book again, which has now found its way back onto the New York Times best-selling list. So they're really seeing a big spike, Motley Crue, in interest. Not only are they on the, let's see, for the New York Times, they are the number 6 on the paperback nonfiction chart, and then number 8 on the combined print and ebooks nonfiction chart.
I'll tell you what, it worked wonders for Queen. Now it's working for the guys from Motley Crue. It's like, I wonder if this this biopic thing is going to start to take off now.
Yeah, I know the Elton John one's coming too, and that's not the only place that Motley Crue's seen a rise. I was just looking at some of the numbers here. Motley Crue's Spotify streams went up 570%. Apple Music streams increased by 900%, and Apple iTunes downloads went up a whopping 2,027%.
Yeah, well, they definitely know how to put themselves. It's funny, they're not touring, they don't have a record out,
and they don't plan on tour.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what they say. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, anyways, get your socials out there, Al.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF and at Talking Rock with One. And you can leave a voicemail as well for some feedback, 248-586-2988. Can't wait till next week. Two legends of heavy metal are going to be right here in the studio with us. And also one of my friends who is no stranger to Guns N' Roses. But we'll get into that here next week. In the meantime, thanks so much for checking out Talking Rock with Meltdown. Hope you guys enjoyed this. If you did, maybe a 5-star rating, write a review, share it with your buddies. And of course, keep it locked right here because we've got more coming up. Thanks so much for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.